Gang, are you looking for better sleep and relaxation or relief from pain or anxiety without feeling totally drugged? Well, let me tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. True Hemp Science promises premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products in the Austin area and beyond. They offer a complete line of full-spectrum CBD products, including oils, tinctures, skincare lotions, sports rubs, gummies, and chocolates. Gang, I've been using their products for a while now, and they've lowered my anxiety and given me incredibly restful sleep. How Did I Get Here has teamed up with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special offer that benefits all of us. Spend $100 or more at True Hemp Science, and they will include either the number 81 distillate, which is great for nighttime, or the number 23 distillate, which is great for daytime, with your order. And that is a $25 value. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. That's truehempscience.com/HDIGH. And balance your body and mind with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. Let's get down. Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. Maybe you got out and enjoyed some of that Austin City Limits Music Fest 2022 weekend too. Did you do that? Did you get out and see my guest from last week, Como Las Movies and Sheila? Did you do that? I saw some video from it. It looked really good. They had some dancers. People were playing. They looked great. Sounded great. Really stoked for everybody that played this weekend. My friend Jake Lloyd played this weekend too. Maybe you saw him. I had a good weekend. I had a pretty eventful weekend. Friday was my birthday. Of course, that was happening. You might have heard that on Friday's show. I went out to see El Combo Oscuro was recording out of the bubble. I went out there for a few hours and hung out with them. My friend Anar and Frenchie. And then came home in the afternoon. I ended up not really doing much for my birthday except like ordering a pizza and watching the January 6th hearings. the last one, the one from the day before. I just watched it on YouTube. That's what I did for my birthday. It's not very celebratory. And I got to tell you, man, after I watch those, every time I watch those hearings, it just really like freaks me out that that actually happened and that it's almost like some people are okay with it. You know, it's just all so fucking weird. And in some ways, I'm like, just go away. But then you're like, you know, man, at some point, somebody's got to own up and be like, man, I did that. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's insane. That's what I did on Friday night. Saturday, I went to Houston with my friend Corey to see to play with Skyrocket at somebody's 50th birthday party. This lady named Jen, she had a whole lot of friends. They were all dressed up in costumes and they were ready to throw down. This was a really fun, like it was three sets, so it was pretty long, but we really threw down. I'll tell you something though, me and Corey went to P.F. Chang's before the show. Have you guys been? I have not been to P.F. Chang's in over 20 years, but I went to P.F. Chang's and I thought like, oh, I love lettuce wraps. I'll get that. I got that for dinner. It's the worst thing I ever had in my life. I was burping fucking lettuce wraps. I didn't get home until 3 a.m. that night. I was burping lettuce wraps the whole gig and all the way home. And I woke up the next morning, stomach just in turmoil from P.F. Chang's. Peter Frampton Chang's. Listen, man, I don't go out there and tell people not to do stuff. But my Yelp review for P.F. Chang's, no stars. Not good. My friend Corey, his food, terrible. Oh, you know what it was? Shitty food, overly sauced and bleh, just crap. So that was part of the adventure on Saturday night. Show was long, three sets. People had a great time in costumes, totally off the hook people. There was some drunkenness at the end of the night. There was like, we were playing the last song and the birthday girl, Jen, I'm pretty convinced she was starting to cry. I believe she might have had some cocktails. She came up to the front of the stage and said to me, "No, can't stop now." her eyes were all sad and everything. Anyway, we had a great time. People had a great time. Corey and I had a great ride home. Then Sunday, I was supposed to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers because my friend Tim was in town, who tour manages them, and he invited me out to the show. But I was so fucking tired, man. I did not go to sleep until like 4:30 or 5 in the morning on Saturday night when I got home from Houston. Got up at 7:30 with Rosie because she was just ready to go. And so we did that, and I took some naps throughout the day and just kind of took it easy on Sunday. Anyway, that was my weekend, my whole weekend. Gang, I want to make a quick announcement. You know, I work with the Austin Music Foundation's Artist Development Program, and the Austin Music Foundation is turning 20 years old this year. They turned 20 years old this year. Yeah, they've been helping people for 20 years in this community. Get out there to austinmusicfoundation.org, find out more about it, see how you can help. But one way you can help is by attending our showcase this weekend. The Austin Music Foundation presents ATX Gen Next Live, an artist development program showcase, this Friday, October 21st at the ABGB, featuring three of this year's participants, Jake Lloyd, Grace Sorensen, and Poet Hawkins. This show is free. Show up at 8. Mingle with some of the people. There'll be a lot of musicians, a lot of music folks there, a lot of fans. We're going to be celebrating and checking out these great artists that we have brought into our program this year that we'll be making a record with. If you want to find out more about the Austin Music Foundation that has been helping this community for 20 years, you can go to austinmusicfoundation.org to get involved and to find out more. Gang, I have a great show for you today. My friend Micah Matenko returns to the show. He was on the show, I guess, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, talking about his last release. But he's been releasing some singles, and he's going to be releasing more. His latest singles, Better Way and Shine Together, are available now, wherever it is that you stream and download music. And his single, Lifted, although it will be dropping next year, early in 2023, we will be giving you a sneak peek today on the show. So check it out. A new song by my man, Micah Matenko, and his group, Matenko. You can find them at matenkomusic.com. Links and are in the text of this podcast and everything. Fantastic, fantastic music. Great songwriter, great keyboard player, great musician, great dude, great hang. I love hanging out with Micah at these shows. I've been hanging out with him at a couple of these shows that I've been doing for James Robinson and hosting them. Great, great times at those things. You can find him at Long Play Lounge on November 11th. He's Long Play Lounge East. I got to specify that. There's another Long Play Lounge now. Anyway, Long Play Lounge East. He'll be there on November 11th. And if you can't make it to that show, he'll be doing Wednesdays in December there. All right? Go to Matenko Music for all your Matenko Music needs. Great, great talking to Micah. This song, Lifted, is really, really great. Here's your chance to sneak peek it before it comes out next year. All right? So without further ado, here is me and my pal, Micah Matenko, chatting it up. Let's get down.
I wake up tired and hazy. Spend my time debating. I look online for anything to believe. I try not to fake it. It's a motivation.
What do you travel with? Like, I've seen you play. What do you take, a Nord? And then
And that's it. You're asking about my Honda Fit.
You take it in your Honda Fit?
Yes.
You're a keyboard player with a Honda Fit.
Yes. The I took my keyboard case to look at the car.
So did I. That's what I do.
Yeah. And it just fit. It's like I can't put it on the edge of the trunk area because it won't fit. It has to go right in the spot. But it just works. You know, I'm one of those Honda Fit people now who's like, oh yeah, I can fit all my shit in this car.
Do you, you take it when you go out of town? What do you do when you play with the band? Like, what happens if you get a gig in Dallas with your band? Everybody drives their own Honda Fit?
Pretty much, yeah. We usually take two cars for four people. We, like, double up carpool.
All right.
Because bassist is an upright bassist.
Oh.
So there's, like, two people with, like, big-ass shit. Oh, and then the drums, obviously.
Yeah.
So most of us, everybody's got like a SUV situation. I have the smallest car, but it's still a hatchback. But yeah, I just play a Nord.
Yeah.
I've never been like a double decker dude. Not that I wouldn't be, but I've just never felt the need.
Do you use splits and shit? Like, cause you play with other people. You're not just like playing a Motake. I've actually seen you playing with some different cats around.
Yeah.
James Robinson.
James Robinson. I was just thinking about him. Yeah.
He disappears and then he reappears.
That's what I'm learning. This is I'm learning. I'm like, okay, this is the season of me like looking at his socials. Be like, yeah.
What's he doing? Yeah.
No, yeah, James is the man.
When you play with it, I got a question about that gig. Yes. And just scoot up just a little bit more on that mic for me.
Okay.
When you're doing that gig, like, is there a lot of rehearsal? Is it a lot of like you're in the moment? Because there's a jazz component to what he does.
Yeah.
Like there's a free thing. Like,
yes.
If like whatever happens that night happened that night, it's not going to happen the same night.
Right.
Same the next night.
Which is awesome. Because, I mean, I love that about jazz. Like, that's a big part of why I play music is to, like, you know, be spontaneous. But yeah, we always get together, like, usually, like, once beforehand, and we run the tunes, and, like, usually there's something he's, like, trying out, like, we're going to try out, like, incorporating tracks was, like, the last thing. We did that the last time.
How do you feel about doing tracks? For a guy that got into it for the, because I also,
yeah,
Micah, got into this for the freedom.
Yes.
Personally, I don't want to ever have, I don't care if someone else uses them.
Yeah.
That's a different job.
Yes.
Than what I signed up for.
I totally agree. And this doesn't actually really apply to James, I feel like, because we actually kind of ended up like throwing out a lot of the tracks right before the show. I don't like tracks. And it's more of a tempo thing than anything else. Like, I'm cool playing the same arrangement. If it's a James Robinson show, usually it's like there's some vamping going on, which is awesome. I love that.
Right.
But yeah, like, and I agree with you. If someone else is using tracks, I don't care. You know, I love when people use tracks and it's like little, just like gluey little things you barely hear, yeah, or maybe some harmonies that are just sort of like tucked in there.
Yeah.
There's like a really nice way of using tracks. And then, you know, the way that I don't like as much is when it's like one dude, you know, playing to like a track that's got all this arrangement going on, and he's like, you know, trying to, being into it and shit. And but I get it though. The economics are just
the
like,
economics. That's the thing. I mean, like,
there's no shade. You know, yeah, it's just a taste. What I would want to listen to thing. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is gonna come out after this happened, but you're playing Sea Boys this week, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you go do that, how many? What's the lineup? Because you have horns with you when you play live. Because these new tunes have horns.
I know. This is a good segue. Yeah. So, I'm gonna be expanding the band, and probably the first time that'll happen is at the single release show on November 11th.
Okay. Let me write that down. November 11th. Where will that be?
At Micah Long Play Lounge East, formerly known as Stay Gold. So that'll be a bigger band. We're gonna have a second keyboardist, Dane Relliford. Been a fan of his ever since I
what does he do
discovered him.
Because you're covering like the more Wurlitzer kind of stuff. Because I noticed that's kind of like your trip.
Yeah. So this is still that is definitely my trip. This is still in theoretical. We're gonna get together like next week, I think. But the idea is to have him play organ, and organ can just sort of tuck in. You know, it's like having rhythm guitar and lead guitar.
Yeah.
But even cooler because it's keyboards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the idea is to have him play organ and just sort of like have that glue. Like, I feel like that can always sort of be tucked in there. Organ's such a versatile instrument. You know, you can be really intense and loud with it, but you can also scale back the drawbars and like, you know, like the Al Green sort of like,
that real thin kind of, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's thin but warm. Like, it's like thin but in the mid-range.
Yeah.
And so
It's a whole different animal. I was just listening, just this morning, I was listening to an interview with Michael McDonald.
Oh, sweet.
And he said that he never really played organ just because it seemed like if you got into that when you were already in your 20s, you missed that window of learning how to use all that whole fucking thing for how you use it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's confusing. It's a lot.
It is. That was my initial reason for making the jump to buying a Nord, because I went from having like a Yamaha, like a not a pro deck, you know, to
buying it didn't have drawbars.
Not at all. I mean, it was like it's a P120. It was like it feels really good, but the sounds are like whatever. It's just like not great sound. So the Nord has like the drawbars and you know. Going to Sea Boys and like trying my best. I remember one time I bombed a solo really badly. But yeah, eventually, the B3, now it's just like such a pleasure to play. There's so many real B3s in Austin.
Yeah.
So it happened. Eventually, I learned how to, you know.
Do you know Flanagan, Mike Flanagan?
No. Not personally.
I think he's the, him and Red
yeah.
Young.
No,
the reason.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Like, he approached Steve and was like, I want to.
I think some of them are Red's. Like, some really? Of them around yeah. town are his.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
just leaves them at the places where he knows he's going to play some gigs in a month.
Right. Yeah, this story's been told to me a few times. I should probably be able to say it back, but yeah, it's like just him pretty much, and I guess Red too. But if it weren't for them, you know, there's like you know, Seaboys, Continental, and the Gallery all have organs in them.
Yeah,
and then Samstown Point has an organ now.
Oh, it does.
Uh huh. And I feel like there's more too.
There's more organs than pianos at places. There's no pianos anywhere.
I know.
Well, you got to fucking tune them too.
Pianos, like, there's just something about a house worst. Piano.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a music college.
Right, right.
Where there's
right.
just people on staff, you know, whose job it is to drink coffee and send emails and tune
right.
pianos, and that's all they have to do
right.
every day. And yeah.
Where are you from, man?
I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
The Boston area. Yeah.
Did you go to Berkeley or something?
I didn't. I went to small liberal arts school.
You can reach down and get it if you want.
Well, it's gone. my coffee's gone. Now I just have to accept my...
What'd you study at the liberal arts school?
Sociology and music. I was a double major. I didn't really think I was going to be a professional musician. In fact, I was kind of like, well, I mean, I know I'm not going to do that. But I have no idea what I want to do. And I like thinking about society. which is, you know, pretty much my entire decision pathway or whatever. So I was like, yeah, I'll do this. And, you know, a few years later, like, sitting around in a classroom talking about, you know, the study of peoples felt really fucking weird. And really, like... It, like, inherently condescending.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So that got old. Like, yeah. And I still love thinking about it, but like just being alive and, you know, visiting with whatever, just different people. I mean, that's sociology. You know, like just being a member of the world
yeah.
is a sociological experience.
Yeah.
So I get a lot more out of just doing that than like reading about it and...
When yeah. you play with James, you're one of the only white guys in the band.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of this band, those guys that he plays with, there, everyone's always so badass.
Yeah, yeah, it really is an honor. I mean, I've been a fan, you know, before I started playing with him. And he let me sit in one night, like the whole fucking show. I can swear?
Yep. You'll never work in this town again.
At the Gallery, and that was just really special. Anyway, yeah, the band is full of badasses. The band is always killer, and you know, it's more of like a, seems like kind of a collective kind of deal, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, a rotating cast.
So how old were you when you, like, connected with music, when you were like, oh, okay, I like this. This is something I'd like to...
My earliest memories.
When did you start playing?
5 years old.
Oh wow, shit.
My first favorite song was called Rhythm is a Dancer.
By who?
Like, it's like some house thing. 90s house. You can feel it, you can feel it. Rhythm is a dancer.
Oh, I know that song. I love that song.
You
it's a good song.
Feel it everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good song. That's like a legitimately good house song.
Oh, yeah. Well, the vocals.
It was like, a hit.
The vocal is killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, but it's hilarious. It's like right out of like Night of the Roxbury.
Yeah. Do you even do the head motion?
Yeah. I called it the Ezza Mezza song. I was like 5 or 4 or something.
You're like, Mom, I got to get a keyboard right now.
Yeah, I think the story goes, the way I remember it was that my friend Jacob was taking piano lessons, and I was jealous. But I think I was like banging on the piano trying to like play piano player.
Yeah.
And that was probably really annoying. So I think that was the impetus for, like, let's get him piano lessons.
Yeah.
But my dad's very musical. My dad's I actually just jammed with him like 3 days ago. I
was up just in Massachusetts? Boston. Yeah. Oh, yeah? What were you doing up there? Him.
Visiting my dad.
Okay.
You know, it's been a minute. And some friends, too. And my brother, who's back there now. But my dad is a jazz clarinet player and an ear player. And so, like, he
what
was playing...
What do you mean, an ear? By ear, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He plays really well, and, you know, he's great. And it's all by ear. He has like some rudimentary music theory, and I gave him some lessons. And Dad, if you're listening, forgive me for calling your music theory knowledge rudimentary.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad.
No, just kidding.
You're a good teacher. I've been watching your videos, the Instagrams, I wrote it down. Here's a lick of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been slamming the TikToks, man.
It's good. Oh yeah, because it's on TikTok.
I'm posting every day.
Are you?
Yes. And so that's like hours a week.
How do you feel about that? You have there's a voiceover dub and stuff, so it's like a real.
Yeah. Well, this producer I worked with, named Austin, who is going to be, credited on my next song, the one I'm releasing in November.
Lifted,
yeah.
I like that song.
Thanks, man. So we worked on it a few months ago, and I met him through a friend, and he's just I just really like the way he works, and so we kind of hit it off. And but he's like turned into like my TikTok like
guru?
Mentor guru,
because
he's, you know, he basically sold me on the idea. And the idea is, or what I've come to see is that, like, and this is like very entrepreneur like jargon or whatever, but you get a lot of cold traffic on TikTok.
Oh yeah.
And you don't
get it.
Get that on Instagram at all.
No.
But it seems like that's like the business model of social media. Basically, it's like you give a lot of free, for the first few years, and then everyone's like, "Oh my God, I can like just blow up on this platform without paying for it."
Yeah.
And then eventually you slowly make people pay for it. So anyway, and it's true. I mean, like, if you put out a video that's good, which is obviously subjective, like, people will just, the algorithm catches it like right away, and it just puts it out. And so,
You have a pleasant teaching style is what I was going to say.
Thanks.
Beyond the algorithms and all that stuff.
Yeah, I like teaching.
Do you teach? Is that part
teach.
Of your thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
How many students do you have?
Like six.
A week?
Uh-huh.
It's fucking great.
Six or seven. It's perfect. I used to have like 20.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got some friends that do like the full load.
Yeah, and it was like mostly seven-year-olds. Nothing against seven-year-olds. But if you're seven and you're listening.
Right. There's not a lot of seven-year-olds listening. There's an explicit warning. They can't even access it. Unless their parents are super hip. I do have a lady that writes me every once in a while like, man, sometimes I'm listening to it when I pick up my daughter and I pull up and I open the door and all the parents are standing out there and I'm like, it was fucking some chick. And like, oh, no.
Hell yeah,
so,
dude.
All right. So, okay, let's go back to this thing. So when you're a kid, you're five, you're learning piano. But when did you connect and go like, I want to, like, did you want to be a pianist? Like, was there a time when you wanted to do it professionally?
Yeah, right. I mean, no, like, I never thought about it, really. I never cared. You know, I just liked playing.
Yeah.
When I graduated college, I had a few years of like, oh man, like, you know, severe 20s angst.
Right.
What am I going to do? I just didn't know what I wanted to do. But
what were you doing, like, for a living?
I was
like,
a high school teacher for a minute.
That's cool.
I taught. I was actually the lunch cook too. I stumbled into this really sweet job. Okay, quick recap. Post college, I worked on a farm with my then girlfriend for like 6 months. Then I drove her back home to Kentucky. We broke up. Then I worked.
Wait.
Yeah.
You drove her back to Kentucky, and then she's like, later, Micah?
Not right then.
Okay.
You know, it was over the phone a few months later.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, that's all right. And then I went back to Boston. I worked at a catering company chopping vegetables and doing prep work and stuff for a few months. I listened to a lot of Modest Mouse during that time.
Yeah.
It was a dark time. And I watched a lot of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
It was a dark time.
So you're young. What are you? So you're still in your 20s?
I'm 31.
You're 31?
Yeah.
That's still in your... That's 31 is
I'm still in my 20s. In 20s. I'm trying... Yeah, I think, you know, projecting 25 is...
Yeah.
That feels good
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
I want to feel like... I want to give off the impression that, you know, I have a bright future.
Yeah. Okay, so you farmed and then you went back and you chopped vegetables.
Yeah, yes. What was the question?
Like, when did you do, like, hey, I'm going to do this now?
Oh, yeah, right. So,
like, you weren't playing in bands in college or anything?
I was.
You were?
Yeah. I've been in bands since high school. Since before high school, because my parents put me in this jazz ensemble. That was really more of, like, he was great. He fed us, like, the meters and a lot of, like, kind of the intersection of jazz and funk. Mm-hmm. So it introduced me to a lot of stuff that would come to influence this band, Motenko, but... But
like what? Because I was going to ask you about
the meters. I mean, that's okay. The biggest one. But okay. Other stuff like the Grey Boy All Star. There's like other sort of like funky kind of instrumental leaning projects.
There's a weird thing in Better Way where you there's like this you're like I'm starting to realize like people that's music is rooted somewhere.
Uh huh.
Like you can kind of go back and be like, oh, it's rooted like in these years. Like mine is 70s, like T-Rex, Bowie, Cheap Trick, Kiss, like that kind of thing got me.
Hell yeah.
But yours, there's a thing in Better Way, and I can't remember how it goes. I would sing it. But it sounds like a specific era, like 1973, like Stevie Wonder-esque soul music.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Like the sweet spot that I kind of decided, I was like, this is... going to be the thing, because I've always liked so many different stuff, like so much different stuff. Like I've gone through periods of listening heavy into reggae, heavy into like Erykah Badu and like Outkast. That was most of high school was that.
Is that neo soul?
Uh huh. And like the Soulquarians, that whole scene, and then also like heavy into Hendrix and the Who and Zeppelin. That was like the first half of high school.
Huh.
So it's all still there. Like I was listening to AC/DC and Metallica this morning, and then I put on DZ Brown's album, which I love. You gotta check out.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, his new album's great. But okay, I'm getting off topic. What did you ask me again?
I asked you if you played in bands during the. College. Oh, yeah. Would you play in like any top 40 bands or something like that, or anything like to make a little bread?
Right. No, I didn't. I've been lucky to sort of. So yeah, I played in bands since high school. I was in like a jam band.
Yeah.
Then I was in a pop R&B band in college, called Freddie Cool, which was led by Darius Dixon,
okay,
who now goes by Dixon and like writes for Beyonce.
Oh, really?
And like produces for like Chance the Rapper and
wow.
And he's got credits.
Still in touch with them?
Not really.
Okay,
but you know, I'll send him some little Instagrams every once in a while. We'll like send him some love every once in a while.
Yeah. It's weird when you know someone and then they enter this world where there's this giant wall where you're like, no, yeah, we used to call each other, but now they disappeared behind the wall.
Yes, and I feel like I know that I don't know. And he's been really supportive throughout the years. Like when I first put out an Instagram video of me singing, it was like the first thing I ever posted of like me singing anything. He was like, dude, you sound so good, you know. But yeah, like I felt like I was like, oh shit, he's like crossed over.
Yeah, you know he's crossed over. Yeah. And he's behind the wall, dude, the paywall.
So yeah, right. The paywall, you said? Oh shit. Yeah, and you know, I don't know. I like if I wanted him to produce or whatever, I suppose I could ask him, but
yeah,
nothing's really felt, you know, different styles or whatever. Anyway.
I have a friend that's hard to find, and he works behind the paywall. Like he's the tour manager for Red Hot Chili Peppers and does stuff like that. And
yeah.
So you never know like how it's going to happen, but then you get a call. Like I got a call last week.
Yeah.
Called me and my friend.
Yeah.
My friend was like, did you get the call?
I feel like, I feel like the feeling of like, making it, you know, finally, and having your shit be appreciated and like touching that fame level, and then having all of the people from your past that you've had genuine relationships with all of a sudden reach out, and it's like, oh, like all of a sudden everyone's like asking me how I'm doing.
Yeah.
And shit. Yeah. That must be a really terrible feeling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm kind of like, yeah, I just don't want to be like grubby, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Back to.
And so, okay. So we were talking about style stuff. So, yeah, like early 70s. I feel like the biggest, I didn't discover this really until much more recently, but like Alan Toussaint and the Meters.
Uh-huh.
They did records for Lee Dorsey.
Okay, I know that name.
And to me, that's like the sweet spot. It's like funky soul.
Right.
Right. So like Bill Withers is like the name I usually throw out.
Right.
I was laughing with someone at our show on Saturday about changing the elevator pitch to Jewish Bill Withers. And so like, yeah, it's like there's instrumental funk. That's dope. What if we added soul melodies over that? Like really good melodies and kind of maybe had some more chord changes. Right. And then another way of thinking about it is like, it's soul, but there's like a funkier groove behind it. It's right. Not like Aretha or Ray, even though I do right. Kind of play some stuff in that vein.
Right.
So anyway, that's
I feel quarterly. It also does venture into that sort of like Inner Visions, Talking Book.
Yeah.
Era of Stevie.
Man.
Which is also funky soul, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean.
And I love the minimalism too. And that's what I like so much about modern R&B too, is like, in a given album, it's just full of like little interludes. It's like all just vignettes, like all over the place. And that's super inspiring. And I got to keep my eyes on the prize for that when I'm working on the album. I'm going to do a full length next year. I've decided.
A full length album again.
Yeah. Well, it's just one EP so far.
Oh, right.
So
right.
The distinction,
that's what we talked about last time. The Motenko EP.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a on good the EP. Phone. I listened to it this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a COVID interview.
That was a COVID interview, wasn't it? But we've seen each other a lot since.
Yes, you came to the James show. The last James show I played, at least, at Soho.
That's right.
That was the one that was supposed to be with Trax. And it mostly wasn't.
What do you think of that Soho place? I think it was cool. You know what I will say?
Yes.
And I've been there a couple of times. I will say that racially, it's the most integrated place I've ever been in Austin.
In Austin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably so.
I mean, like, honestly.
Yeah. Like, no, for sure. I mean, in Austin, you know.
Sometimes there might be three black dudes at Seaboys. Honestly.
I know. Yeah.
And hardly any Mexican dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think Soho's cool. It's a different scene. It seems more like national.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has a chain vibe to it where you feel a little weird about being there and not like down the street at Continental, you know, supporting Steve's places or something.
Well, yeah, but I'm sort of saying that in a positive way. Because you're saying like Sibo, like, you know, so many little parts of the music scene in Austin are, you know, super white and super male too.
Yeah.
And so part of the more national thing is like there's just a little bit more of like a diverse like selection of people, although it does also have like the private club vibe. So, you know, there's that too. Like,
but it's like a hip, it's not like a country club, like where there's snooties. It's like tattooed people with wax stuff in their mustaches. It's like hipster country club. You know what I mean?
Hipster creative. Like everyone's like, I have a setup, you know. I liked it.
I'm just wondering. I know that it's like a thing that people, it's like an honor to get to play there, and I'm sure they pay you well, and it seems like a cool place. And but at the same time, there is something about Austin and like keeping Austin.
Yeah.
You know, they used to, I don't know if you probably weren't here then, but at one point, for a couple of years, they had a Hard Rock Cafe on 6th Street. And it was just like, really? Yeah. We need one? Like, we don't need that here.
Right.
Like, more you need that. In Pittsburgh, where there's not like a vibrant music scene where you can go see the real shit. Why would you come to this place and see like the fake stuff?
Right. And I mean, coming in here, like I came into Austin through the like the bluegrass scene. And you asked me if I was in any wedding bands, and I do have a band that plays a lot of events. I'm in a band that plays a lot of events called Steel Betty.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a bluegrass band. Yeah, we did an interview.
Yeah, yeah. You did.
And we're going to play a public show soon. But
I totally forgot you were in that band. We did it out in the pool
area.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, shit, that's right.
Yeah, man. So I play mandolin in that band and sing bluegrass. So, and that's sort of like a side thing that I've had for a long time. For a while, I was doing more of that than piano. But anyway, so I came into Austin knowing members of the Whiskey Shivers.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, right away, it was like the Americana scene. And,
yeah.
And stuff. So those are the...
I would put what you do in the Americana scene. I know that sounds weird, but I feel like Americana is such a broad umbrella that you would fall in. Like, you could play Americana Fest. It wouldn't be weird.
No, not at all. The California Honey Drops are buddies of mine, and I love them. I'm like a fan. They play bluegrass festivals, like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they're like the sole relief at the end of the night. You know, and they can totally hang, you know, so... I love jamming and soloing, and so if the context is right, then I'm down to like have that kind of a set, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just gonna say, like, coming into Austin through the Americana scene, like, I feel like I still don't know where, like, hip hop and R&B are in terms of physical locations in Austin.
Yeah.
You know, there's like Skylark. Seems like more of kind of like an old soul kind of blues.
Right.
So all I hope is that, you know, I don't know how new this R&B scene is, but I think it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, like DZ and obviously James.
Grace Sorensen,
Moody
Unbelievable.
Banks.
Unbelievable.
So I just hope that the barriers to entry don't really exist. You know what I mean? I hope that there's like, and so, you know, I'm kind of speaking from a point of not really knowing. But
your approach to R&B and soul is definitely not like synth based or like pad based. It's definitely like Wurlitzer blues and art, like, you know, 70s, 60s R&B based.
Yes, I'm a huge appreciator of the more modern shit, but I wouldn't say that I'm trying to compete, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm more interested in like
the threat of
I'm more interested in like expanding on the early 70s.
Yeah. You're on these new songs, there's I think in Shine Together, there's like some lyrics about being with your family and being together and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from on that? Does that come from kind of 2020 and all of the isolation?
Yes.
Just kind of a reflection.
That's a quarantine, so to speak. I actually wrote it, you know, right when everything sort of ground to a halt.
Yeah.
That was a nice couple of weeks there where I felt a lot of creative energy and momentum before that just like totally disappeared.
Yeah.
And so I had plenty of months without that. But it was like when shit's fucked up, what matters is just your loved ones.
Yeah.
And let's see, I'm trying to like remember the lyric. You make peace with the day to day. It just makes everything kind of go down okay. It's not like it makes it okay.
Yeah.
It just makes it, you be able to handle it.
You get through the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was very hopeful, but it also sort of taps into my feelings about modern life. I feel like everybody's so kind of like isolated in many ways now, and it's literally making us crazy.
Yeah.
Because I think humans are meant to just be in groups.
Yeah.
Like literally during the day, throughout the day. You know what I mean?
With your tribe.
With your tribe. And I'm not including your startup in your tribe.
Right. What does your girlfriend do? And were you guys together during the COVID era?
We were. Yeah. I moved in during COVID. Dana is a bass player. Dana Marie is her stage name, at least. Dana Weigmans is her name. She's an upright bass player. She plays an American Dreamer.
Yeah.
And they
had
were
those
we
guys
were
on the show. I just don't think she was on the show.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was pre her.
Might have been pre her.
She joined the band. Anyway, we were in Black Fret together.
Oh.
Same like season, I guess. Same class.
Yeah. Did you get a whole grant?
Well, they did it a little differently that year.
That was 2020.
So I did get a whole grant. It was 2021.
Okay.
So I got like, they basically gave everyone the same amount, and then they gave three people a little more. That was member's choice. And so I was one of the normies.
Yeah, that's all right.
And it was great. Like they paid for like six tunes, including Better Ways Shine Together, Horns and Strings.
Yeah.
And I also finished building out a home studio that is now like fully vocals and keyboards ready. And then I can like do overdubs of guitar and whatever else.
Right. Is that where I saw the video of you testing out the microphones for the,
yeah,
how you record a mandolin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny to
be. Is that how you did these songs? Or,
well, at this point, I'm doing all my lead vocals in my spot.
Okay.
And that's how I did lead vocals for... Oh, no, I went in. I went into Buds to do vocals for Shine Together. Buds is where we did basically everything.
Yeah,
so
you had all those videos before from there that were really cool during...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll go back there. Because, I mean, my favorite thing that Sam does, Sam Patlove, shout out to Sam Patlove, Buds Recording Services, is his drum sounds. They're just so tasty, and they hit the era that I want.
Yeah.
And he also loves like hip hop too. So we're both kind of on the same page. It's like, ideally, and I'm not sure I've really achieved this yet, but ideally I want my music to sound like it's harkening back to the early 70s, but with a hip hop influence, at least in the drums, like the kick. I've done like digital kick, like sweetening, you know, to try to make it like more contemporary. So I'm still working at kind of hitting that sweet spot.
That's one of those things. I actually, you might not know who this is, but there's this guy named Rudy Sarzo, kind of this legendary hard rock bass guy.
Sweet.
But we were talking about how I'm in this band Skyrocket. Every time we're in a new place with a new PA, there's like this battle of low end that's happening, because the modern music, ever since they started using synth basses and 808 drums, then all of a sudden you had to make systems that could, you know, translate that to the people.
Right.
But then
right.
You're playing this music from the 70s and there's this little fucking rumble every time you're doing it and all this stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's
you actually told me about some device that you can get for your bass to keep it in check.
Oh,
but
cool.
That is, I mean, that is a thing. That's a thing that differentiates, you know, like if you're listening to a playlist and like, there's a Sam Cooke's, or not Sam Cooke, but like, Al Green song on, and then all of a sudden a Kendrick Lamar song comes on. There's like this low end that just didn't even exist in the time of the Al Green. Yeah,
totally. And the 70s, like the kick drum was very soft, you know, and kind of like pillowy. And I just like the way Sam put it to me one time was like, it's a retro sound, but it's a retro sound that acknowledges that hip hop happened.
Yeah,
you know.
That's a tough line to walk. And I will say, like, your stuff does, there's a inherent sort of laid backness to your jams.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I love
mid
tempo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So much.
Yeah, you're not trying to get anywhere too fast.
No, like, you know that Zeppelin song, Your Time Is Gonna Come? It's not the only example of it. It's kind of a deep cut, but it's like, doom, doom, cha, doom, doom, cha, like rock.
Yeah.
I just love the slow thing. And, and
I'm
like
a huge Zeppelin guy.
Huh?
I'm not a huge Zeppelin guy.
Yeah.
I know hits.
I think at this point I've started to like cancel them in my brain because they were like philandering with like, you know, 15-year-olds and shit.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Retrospect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like their music, I'm still kinda like, yeah, okay. Because I love, you know, I used to really like them. Now that I've listened to more rock from that era, I'm kinda like, okay, you know. There's better examples of a lot of this shit, but yeah, like, you know, what they, how they rolled as people, it's just like,
man, I think
they were
they
such
rolled,
shitheads, man.
There was probably some shitty stuff. I feel like with them especially, there's so much more speculation that has turned into quote unquote facts.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You know about the fish and they beat the lady with the fish, like they spanked a lady with the fish.
Okay.
And like that was one of the things that was like one of those legends that was just going to, oh yeah, and they fucking get their groupies and spank them with raw fish. And like in one of those interviews, like they asked Jimmy Page, he's just like, seriously, like,
yeah. Even if
we
could remember.
Were doing?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, We're still just people. You know, I mean, yeah, we might have gotten laid a lot, and it might have been, you know, with some questionably aged people.
Yeah, well, I think it was Plant, or maybe it was Paige, was like, you know, courting like some 14-year-old model.
That's all weird.
So it's, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, there's a, I think there's a line at which you can like kind of really truly like R. Kelly. You know, it's like,
oh God, yeah,
we can maybe not play his music. Well, that's a whole debate, you know. Do you separate the art from the person?
Well,
at what point do you do that?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But anyway,
everybody with Zeppelin, still listens to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
By the way, except for the last girl I went out with. There's a first person I ever met that was like, no. And right. Then the funniest thing was she was like, I was like, come on, man. You don't, the one song I used as an example, I couldn't believe I said it. I was like, come on, man. You don't want to dance when you hear Pretty Young Thing? And she goes,
wrong example.
Exactly. And I was like, wait a minute.
You're like, no, I mean, why don't we be starting something?
I have a funny story. A few weeks ago, Robert Plant, I guess, had been in town. And I went to lunch with this lady, Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's. Mm-hmm. She lives here.
Cool.
And we saw the guy that owns Waterloo standing outside of Waterloo. And she goes, hey, there's John Koontz. Let's go say hi to him. So we go walking up to say hi, but he's talking to some weird old dude. And I'm like, shit, that's Robert Plant.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, let's not walk up now.
Yeah.
He's going to think we're just walking up that famous thing.
Right.
He just thinks we're walking up to say hi to Robert Plant. So let's just stop. So we stop like this far away from like 5 feet. Just stand there and stare at him until he walks away. It was so weird.
It is weird. The things you do, you know.
Yeah.
I ran into Jacob Collier on the street one time in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And?
He was just walking down the street. The only comparison is I just like stared him down for like he was looking down on the ground, so I'm glad that he didn't see me stare him down, but I needed to make sure it was him before I like accosted him because it was kind of far away.
So I
just like stared at him for like a solid like 6 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. It's like you wouldn't do that to anybody.
No. It's pretty funny. My friend Darren and I saw at a layover on a flight, we saw Rick Springfield walk by the place. We were standing in line for food. So we went and hunted down Rick Springfield, and he was like in the MSNBC store looking at some magazines, but he was fucking yelling at some dude that I guess worked with him. And right when we were walking up, it's like, bummer.
Yeah.
I really wanted to meet him, but I don't want to meet that. Like, he was mad. He was really mad at this dude.
Yeah.
It would have been so awkward. Excuse me, Rick?
Totally.
Love that Jesse's girl.
Yeah, I feel like there's a thing where like people when there's someone that they feel like is famous, even if they're not necessarily famous, if they're famous to them, I feel like they either want the person to be like the best person or to be a fucking asshole. People seem to want to like group it into one of those two categories.
Yeah.
And I feel like more often than not, it's like they're just a person.
Yeah.
They're just a fucking person.
I've had people come up and tell you that they met some guy and like, I saw this guy in the airport, like whatever, Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. Right. He was a dick and he was like just walking off.
Dude,
and you're like,
such a dick.
But you're like, what if he had to take a shit?
Yeah.
Like, what if he just got out of his plane? He's like, where's that fucking bathroom? Somebody's like, hey, man, I really like Terminator. You're like, cool.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm doing some shit right now. Yeah. What if he was in the middle of some shit? I don't know. It's
fighting with his girlfriend or, you know.
Yeah.
Or the maid.
The maid, or handling his staff of house cleaners and indentured servants
slash
and
lovers. So, what part of town do you live in? That's a weird question, but what part of town do you live in?
North. I live in
an affordable area.
Covey, I forget what. Oh, Georgian Acres. Okay. I can't believe I remembered it. Yeah, it's like I basically live near 35 and 183.
That's pretty cool.
That region. It's great. I love being close to, every ethnicity of grocery store.
Yeah. You got the Asian grocery stores up there.
There's a Nigerian grocery store.
Oh, there is?
Near me. There's Fiesta.
Love Fiesta, man.
Close. And there's like a few Asian grocery stores. So I like to cook.
You do?
Yeah. So that's fun.
Do you drink cocktails?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a friend. We have this show called Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ.
Sweet.
Do you know AJ Vallejo?
No, but I've heard the name.
So We haven't done a show in a long time, but we need to bring it back, and I think you'd be a good guest.
Let's do it, dude. Yeah,
just get drunk and cook.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and then eat.
That's my favorite pastime.
Yeah. So, so who else do you play with outside of your James Robinson and your thing?
Yeah, so Steel Betty.
Right, okay.
And started playing with Sir Woman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a cool gig. Are you going out on this tour?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Dylan Meeks covering keys and bass. Fantastic keyboardist, Dylan Meek. But yeah, I've been playing most of the in-town shows. We're doing a short run through Texas that I'm on with opening for The Dip. So that'll be cool. I've been loving playing in that band. Kelsey's awesome.
Kelsey's so awesome.
And Spice and Roy are also awesome. Spice and Roy sang on a bunch of tunes. They sang on Shine Together.
Oh, really?
They sang on Lifted. They sang on Better Way. So they're going to be on the next batch. You know, they already are. So shout out to Spice and Roy.
Spice and Roy. Shouting them out.
I love them. So yeah.
When does Lifted come out?
Lifted comes out. Actually, I haven't set the date yet, but it'll be before the 11th. November 11th. Okay. Early November. Let's just say that.
Can I play it on the show, or do you have some kind of a exclusive with a more important media outlet than How Did I Get Here?
That'd be nice. Okay. I don't.
Okay.
So yeah, go ahead.
I mean, they won't hear the whole song. They'll hear like the intro and then the middle of it and then the rest of it.
A teaser would be awesome.
Teasing it up.
Yeah, so Lifted's the only song that I've done sort of totally by myself. All the rest of the tunes were tracked with the band.
Yeah.
James Gwynn, Josh Flowers, Cat Clemens. And this one was like, we used a loop, a drum loop. And so it was fun to sort of branch out a little bit. And yes, I worked with it, worked on it with Austin Smith, producer. So,
okay.
So he works with like Twin Shadow and people.
After this show on the 11th, you're gonna have another keyboard player. Are you gonna have horns? I don't think we ever got to it. We drifted.
I have horns on the record.
Right. Yeah.
I've kind of decided I don't really want horns live, and the reason is because I want to differentiate myself from bands like St. Paul and the Broken Bones or like Duran Jones and the Indications, and I love those bands, but I want to be something. A little bit further along the timeline than just retro soul. And I feel like horns are very like,
oh yeah, you get
they
stuck
really
in a
place
thing.
It. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's yeah. Like, okay, yeah. We're in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And so instead I want to have more of a early 70s thing, which I feel like even though Al Green's got horns, you know, I don't know. I just want it to be the thought was like, there's these early 70s soul bands. Like if you watch live shows of Bill Withers, there's no horns. There's still like six or seven musicians. But everyone's playing these real sort of slinky little kind of just little parts just to fill in the holes. And it's just a really warm sound that's like very rich, but not necessarily like all out, full out,
yeah.
You know? And that's what I would like is to explore that. I feel like that's a lot less like played out as like the early 70s sound.
Yeah.
That soul sound at least. So anyway, yeah. We'll have another keyboardist, Dane Ralliford, on the release show, and we'll have background vocalists.
Nice.
And that's the building out of the band. That'll be sweet.
Any other shows planned after that, or you're just taking it one show at a time?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact. We're going to be doing Wednesdays in December at Stagold, at Long Play Lounge East.
Long Play Lounge. Everyone calls it... it is Long Play Lounge East?
Long Play Lounge East, which is very important because there is a Long Play Lounge that doesn't have music and just plays records. So don't go to Long Play Lounge. Come to Long Play Lounge East.
That's the one that used to be Stagold, right?
Yes, the East one. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And it's...
I like that place.
I love that place, yeah. We kind of like started there.
It's a cheap Uber ride from here.
That's perfect, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way you can really party down.
I like to have cocktails at that place. For some reason, that's a place that like I enter and they're not very expensive.
No, it's like a nice little sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's the dive, air quotes, dive bar.
Right, right.
Where it's like actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
But not too nice.
I've never eaten the food out there, though. Is that good?
Yeah, their tacos are pretty good.
Yeah.
The food truck's always changing. There was a mac and cheese truck there for a while. That was pretty good.
Shit.
But yeah, Yeah, literally, yeah.
The food truck thing kind of sucks, man. There's a park like down here that has it, and they change, like, I'll go be like, oh, I'm going to go get a thing from the place, and you walk down there, it's just gone.
I know.
Like, that's it. They packed up and left.
Yeah, and if you forget the name of the place, then you're fucked. Like, there was this taco truck near 7 Grand, out back of 7 Grand. This was on Dirty Six, or East Six, or Red River. In the Red River area. 7 Grand.
Yeah.
You can tell I don't go to 6th Street very often.
Yeah.
And the taco truck back there was so amazing. Just need to take a moment of silence to think about how good those tacos were. But yeah, I haven't been back there in a while.
Seaboys had that Cajun place out there for a little while that was really good before the pandemic. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. Now there. It's halal.
That's not bad. That's
no, good. It's great. Yeah. I love halal. Shout out to Halal Time.
Austin food truck town.
Yeah.
I just went to Miami last week, and it's just food truck city there too, man. It's like food trucks are everywhere. It's a thing.
It's a thing because there's just barriers to entry for like having a restaurant.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense though.
Where's your favorite place to eat in town since you're a food guy? I'm not going to call you a foodie because I hate that word.
I don't like that word either. Yeah. I don't like to self-identify as a foodie. I'd like
I hate
to
it when people
I'm
do that.
More down to earth.
Yeah. It's like when someone tells you they're a poet. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah. Even calling myself a songwriter feels kind of annoying. It's just like,
really
I write songs. I don't know.
I like your songs.
Thanks, man.
I like your music a lot.
Thank
I really
you,
do. I like the vibe of it is so nice, and your songs are good, and you got a really, you have a lovely voice.
Thank you. Nice. That it took a while. That was the last thing, was getting a voice. I was like, yeah, I don't know I didn't sing until I was mid-20s, like, playing bluegrass is how I started singing. Anyway.
I remember that. When you guys were on, I had just seen like that PBS country thing, and that was all I wanted to talk about through that whole interview, and I felt like I was kind of driving you guys nuts because you're like, I know you just saw the thing, but like,
no, I had a great time during that interview, man. It was nothing of the sort.
Okay, good.
But yeah, talking about cocaine and rhinestones, was that what this was called?
No, there was a long
oh, is it Ken Burns?
The Ken Burns, yeah. Country music. That
I
was
still
great.
Haven't watched that.
Still?
Yeah. I think there's a part of me that I've never really liked country music very much. I like Sturgill a lot. I like Chris Stapleton a lot. I like Hank Williams. You know, I like some old stuff, but I think part of like living here, I'm kind of like, there's a part of me that's like a little contrarian, like whatever I'm playing mostly, it's so nice to just do the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I used to love going to bluegrass festivals, but like on the way back from a bluegrass festival, I'd be listening to hip hop because it's I need to wash myself of the, all that, you know.
Do you know Natalie Price?
Yes.
She's a really cool singer. Like, one time I hurt her feelings because I said that I had left her a show. And I came home and listened to Black Sabbath like really loud. But I didn't mean it bad. I was just like, I just needed a palate cleanse before I went to sleep.
Yeah, you need balance.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've just never, you know, I've never really connected hard with country music. I connect with bluegrass. I know bluegrass is country, and I'm using them separately.
No,
here,
it's not. They're different.
They're different. Bluegrass is a jam thing. You know, it's like...
It's not my particular go-to.
Yeah. And I don't actually, I really almost never listen to bluegrass.
Yeah. So, the lack of dynamics is what kind of drives me nuts as a listener. Like it just goes, like fast and.
I know. It's a hilarious thing, but there is a difference between music that you want to listen to and music that is fun to play.
Yeah.
And it's just, I playing bluegrass is just a blast. It's so much fun. And I don't need to, you know, maybe if I'm driving like through Wyoming, something about like driving in like a barren area.
Sure.
You know, it's like put on some Stanley Brothers and really just connect with your, connect with your like agricultural ancestry or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you're the farmer that you aren't. Connect with
the farmer that you were.
The farmer that you were.
Can you still farm?
Life.
Do you grow stuff? Do you have a little garden?
No.
Okay. You never know.
My girlfriend does though. She's a good gardener, but I don't, man. I really like to cook and to play music and to hang out with people. And those three things are like really all the things I want to do.
You're good at all of them. I mean, I don't know about the cooking thing because I haven't tried it, but you're good at music, and I like hanging out with you.
Thanks. Right back at you, man.
Yeah.
Well, we should do the drink and cook thing.
Yeah. I'll tell AJ.
Okay, cool.
We shoot them here because it's if you can make a meal like in that kitchen with whatever I have,
dude,
then you're in good shape.
My cousin, this is a real tangent, but my cousin in San Francisco, he's been a cook for a long time, and he had a pop-up dumpling and like Chinese food restaurant that he ran out of a kitchen this size.
Oh, awesome.
And it was fucking wild seeing his setup. It was like vertical stacks of shit just like everywhere. You know, heavy use of the freezer.
Yeah.
You know, like he had it dialed in. It was cool.
I had this guy, it's the show that came out today, Ed Karaf. He's this, the photograph of Jimi Hendrix on his knees at Monterey Pop Festival. His guitar's on fire and he's doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And his friend, he took that photo like when he was 17 years old. Went on to do over 100 album covers and stuff. And he quit. Like in the early 80s, he just quit. He just got bored and didn't like the business very much, show business, and ended up becoming a chef. And he's having this show this week at Modern Rocks Gallery, is what I'm leading to.
Cool.
So already have happened by the time you hear this. But he's, not only is it his photos and all this stuff, but he's also curating the food. He's doing some small bite things that he came up with and cocktails and stuff. Yeah,
that's awesome.
You could do that at a Matenko show. Record release, you do like a little Matenko snack table.
No, yeah, I've thought about that, and it would be so much fun in theory. But like, I've like thrown parties before, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna cook. It's gonna be dope. And I like go food shopping at like 3 p.m. and roll back to the house, and I'm like furiously cooking when people are there.
You're all sweaty and
so
like,
yeah, you got to really have your shit together. Like now I get it when you know they used to like not so much now, but like cooking shows from like a few years ago, it always used to be like, you know, that way you can have everything prepared when your guests arrive, and there's all the shit about like having things out when the guests and this entertaining and the guests, and I understand that now because it's like, you don't want to be all like working when you're trying to hang out.
I got married when I was like 25, and my ex-wife and I would try to entertain it, and we like be like, well, I guess y'all just eat the broccoli, the chicken will be ready in like 25 minutes. Like we could never get all the food out of the
it's hard
time.
Man, it is, it's a whole fucking thing. It's like you gotta be you gotta time the put the thing in the oven at the right time, and which things like this is what I
exactly
so, yeah anyway exactly. which things are cool to let kind of get room temp,
right?
Which things do you need to have hot?
Right. Yeah. It's a whole thing. But it's fun.
It's really fun. Yeah, I got my ass kicked in my 1 year of being a high school teacher and lunch cook. But at this point, I enjoy throwing down in the kitchen that much more because I'm like, yeah, bro, I got this.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
Micah, okay, everyone can get out there and check out his music. Go to check out Matenko. You can go on the Spotify's or wherever it is you listen to the music. Better Way and Shine Together available now. Hopefully Lifted will be out soon at some point. You can go see Matenko live at Long Play Lounge East on November 11th. If by chance you are tied up that night, maybe you have plans with somebody, romantic thing that doesn't involve Matenko. Although your jams do probably lead to some romance.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and recommend Matenko for your date night,
for your lovemaking.
Yeah, for your pre lovemaking.
For your pre.
I mean, hey, during is cool too. Don't get me wrong, but
and if you can't go see them, they'll be at Long Play Lounge East Wednesdays in December. Lifted will be out. Go to matenkomusic.com for all of your Matenko needs. Great talking to you.
You too, man. Yeah. Thank you.
It's motivation.
That was Micah Matenko and his song Lifted that you're hearing that will not drop until next year, but you can see him play live at Long Play Lounge East on November 11th. Go to matenkomusic.com. Also, you can hear the singles that are already available now, Better Way and Shine Together, wherever it is that you stream and download music. I want to thank Micah for doing the show again. I love hanging out with that dude. Love it. Love the dude. I think he's a masterful musician, a great songwriter, great singer, all around great hang. All right. So, gang, while you're out there checking out matenkomusic.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast, anywhere. New shows all the time. I'm starting to bring out the From the Vault series. Yeah, I'm rolling it out, bitches. I'm rolling out the From the Vault series. All right, so get into that. Matenko Music is where you want to go to check out what Micah's up to. See what he's doing when they're playing. Go see them at Long Play Lounge East on November 11th and listen to the rest of their song, Lifted, which will not be available until next year. All right, have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Grateful, drunk on the strength of your